My next guest on Women and What We Do is Miss Mary Johnson. Boy, I thought I knew her well because she has taken care of the wrinkles on my forehead for the last 4 years. But when talking to her, there is so much more. Mary's a Toledo native. She's a licensed RN nurse in Ohio and Michigan. She served on the U.S. Air Force as a photo intelligence liaison officer. She's a graduate of the University of Toledo. She's had infertility issues like so many other women. She's gone through the adoption process to gain her beautiful son. And she's a farmer. Gosh, there's so much more to this amazing woman, and I'm so glad we get to share it with you today. I'm Mary Brucker, your host, and welcome. On Women and What We Do, there are so many incredible people that we can talk to because it allows us to really get to meet somebody and know them for more than what we thought we did. So it's great to introduce my next guest, Miss Mary Johnson. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Our stories together, as you'll find out as we continue to talk, is Mary flattens my forehead. But once I got to know her, the things that who she is, where she's come from, the trials and tribulations like all of us women go through are spectacular. So I'm so proud that you're here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am an aesthetic nurse. And as you know that, I did get my start in the ICU. And I worked in the ICU for several years. And then I eventually transferred to a step-down unit. And during several years of that time, actually, I was suffering from fertility problems, which many women do.
Right.
A lot of women don't have the opportunity to talk about it.
A lot of women almost feel ashamed to talk about it, right?
I think that's really close to being true. And also just embarrassed and questioning the why. Why is this not happening for myself and my husband and my family? So,
because you had an older daughter,
I had an older daughter,
and then you wanted to have a bigger family.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you tried for how long?
At least 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So at that time, we also wanted to pursue foster to adopt, adoption. Didn't really know what it looked like, but you know, we got certified to do all the above,
which is an incredible thing and an awesome option for people who can't conceive a child, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And so we got through all of that, and then I found out shortly after I turned 40 that I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got that wonderful news, and it was maybe 10 days later, the agency called us and let us know that there was a little boy that was ready for immediate placement, and did we want to be considered for him? And of course, I'm holding the phone and I'm looking at my husband and he's looking at me like, say yes, you know. So of course, we said yes. And it just kind of happened quickly. We realized very soon that, and I didn't feel old at the time, but you know, I was of maternal age. They call it a geriatric pregnancy, which is pretty interesting in itself. But given that, coupled with my fertility issues, we decided as husband and wife that it would be best if I stayed home.
Okay.
And
so the timeline is you're pregnant and you've had some late term pregnancies that didn't work out, right?
Correct.
And you decided that no matter what, I'm going to take this other boy who needs a mom.
That's right. Okay. And, you know, as my husband would say, you're not really pregnant until we see that heartbeat at least twice, you know, because of the history.
And he's a doctor.
So having seen the worst of the worst, you know, he's like, until that baby's born,
right,
this is, you know, where we're at. So I decided to stay home. And little did I know what an amazing adventure that was going to be. We were given a beautiful gift of a little boy that just needed a mama, and he needed nurturing. He needed me full time. And I needed to nurture my body. I needed to nurture the baby that was growing inside me. So we spent, I feel like it was 7 full months rocking in a chair and singing and all of us just growing in love together. And it was this beautiful love story.
With a baby in your hand.
With a baby in my hand.
And a baby
and
in your
baby
belly.
And a baby in my belly. Yeah. And those two boys are inseparable to this day. They just, they were meant to be together as brothers.
So miraculously, you were able to give birth to another healthy baby boy.
Yes.
And he's how old are
so
you?
So they're 8 and 11, okay. And then my daughter's 18.
Oh, my gosh.
So big gap between the kids. And it worked out great because, you know, Jackie was 10. They would have been so far apart. I think a baby would have been a novelty for her. You know, oh, that's cute. But the idea of really being real close with that baby. So I think that the boys, they bridged that distance between their age gap and hers.
Sure. And how brave of you to take that leap to adoption, right? With this little baby who needs a mama. And so how beautiful your family. And I'm so proud that, you know, you faced the facts of infertilization and then you got pregnant and then adoption. That's a lot to go in somebody's personal life, which is beautiful.
It is a lot. And it was a journey that I didn't really know how it was going to impact me on such an emotional level. People asked us when we first said that we were going to adopt, why would you ruin your perfect family? And I thought, wow, that's a really tough question, because the way that I saw it is that you can have several kids from the same family, all cut from the same cloth, and you've got a child that can go wayward and, you know, end up in a really bad situation. And then you've got children from the same family that go on to do great things. So you never really know. I mean, you do the best you can as parents, but right. You don't really know.
Well, I love the description of what your son says about his quote on how you're his mama.
Sure.
Why don't you
sure.
say that?
So, you know, when he was little, he used to tell people that I was born in mommy's heart and Charlie was born in mommy's belly.
Ugh.
And that's exactly what it was. I could not talk about the adoption for years without crying, because it was so much bigger than me. It was so much bigger than I even knew. And if, for some reason, it's just that gift of being the other mother in a way. I couldn't describe it for a long time. I wrote about it. I wrote a lot. And I put a lot of it on social media, but it would choke me up.
Right. What has been your experience with adoption? Say somebody is struggling with infertility. What would be your advice on how to go about adoption?
Adoption, yeah. So there's different ways that you can adopt. You can adopt through private agency, and you can adopt through the foster care system. And I have to be honest with you, there are tens of thousands of children in the foster care system. And personally, we felt that we wanted to rescue's not the word that I'm looking for, but it is the word I'm looking for. You know, we
sure.
pulled this child from the ashes, and when he first came to us, he had never played outside. He was terrified of the grass. He was terrified of bugs.
And he was two.
And we live in the country.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would take a walk down the driveway, and it would literally take 3 hours, and it was glorious. I mean, it was just, I didn't remember doing that with my first child, because I guess she was just, from the time she was born, we kind of did things with her differently. And so I felt like I was backtracking. And so going back to your question, we felt like going through the foster care system was the way to do it, because we really wanted to take a child that was in desperate situation, that was in desperate need of a family.
Right.
And it was a journey. And I will say that it was a journey that my husband and I both struggled with, because we learned so much about ourselves. I would come home from these classes and just bare my soul, like, oh my gosh, am I capable of this? Am I capable of loving another child? What do I do if they have this situation or that? And we had to take, I think it was like 16 classes once a week, and before we could even get certified. And then we had a mountain of stuff that we had to do at home to get our certification. But the classes were so eye-opening, and we learned so much about our personal judgments, even though we thought we weren't judgmental people.
Right.
Just that hard look at yourself, like, oh my gosh, am I capable of doing this? And looking at, the mothers that have these children, the situations that they find themselves in. And sure, it's easy to point fingers and say, how dare you leave a kid alone at home? But you've got four kids and you got to go to work. I mean, right. So we were able to put ourselves in a different situation that I never had really ever thought about in my life, which was very humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very humbling.
And it's such a beautiful story now because this young baby is thriving and living on a farm,
yep.
Which if we continue to talk about your personal journey, I would have never guessed that you're a farmer. So talk a little bit about that.
Okay, so it's a real cute story. It started as us wanting to have eggs, right? Because who doesn't want to have farm fresh eggs? And we wanted to learn to use our land a little bit and kind of not self-sustaining on eggs alone, but just kind of, you know, do that. And we thought it'd be fun to have the kids get involved. And as it turns out, chicken math is a very real thing. You go from 3 to 9 to 28. And more very quickly. And I would be sneaking packages in, like, my husband didn't know what that box of like little chirping things was. And I thought I was like, so like spelt, you know, and I sneak across. And chickens, they multiplied very fast. I just loved it. It was so fun watching them. We never imagined how much time we would spend outside just watching the chickens play. My boys built a ninja warrior course for the chickens of all this plywood that we had sitting around. And I mean, we had toys for them and mirrors. It was ridiculous, actually.
And then chickens turned into
turkeys,
which turned into
pigs.
Okay.
And so now we have, I feel like we have maybe 19 pigs. And it's cute. It's real cute. You know, so it evolved very naturally. And I think we wanted to challenge ourselves. And so we got real big and then we scaled back because I think we learned a lot of hard lessons. You know, neither of us comes from a farm family. So
right.
We, you know, people would laugh at me. They're like, I can't believe you're doing this. And it was just, it was fun.
Because on top of you being this amazing mother, adoption, fertility, nurse, like, you served in the military.
I did.
And what did you do in the military?
I served in the Air Force for 4 years, and I had a very cool job. I worked the camera system on an unmanned aerial vehicle. So those little flying airplanes. It was actually pretty cool. So I worked the camera system on that.
And then you went on to be a nurse.
And then I went on to be a nurse.
And now your current profession is?
Yeah, an aesthetic nurse. So going way back to when I took time off to have my boys, I knew that I loved being a nurse. I knew that I wanted to go back into nursing. I just didn't know exactly what, you know, over those years, field of nursing had changed a lot. Healthcare was changing. The hospitals were changing. And I have friends that are still nurses and they were exhausted. I mean, I was just seeing how much change was taking place and I didn't really want to go back to the hospital and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And as, you know, as we're growing and aging and all of these things, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing changes, right? And one of the things that, and I will say this was the culmination of how I decided to go to aesthetics practice. I had jaw surgery when I was a junior, going into my junior year that summer. I had really bad overbite. And to correct my overbite, I got TMJ dysfunction. So in order to correct that, I had to have jaw surgery. They cut out two sections of my jaw on either side, and they had to basically screw my jaw back on, mm-hmm. which left me with two like holes, right? And as I was younger, it didn't bother me. But as we get older, you know, we have bone remodeling and we lose that wonderful thing called collagen. It starts to really decrease. And we also lose the fat in our face. And so I was noticing what I perceived to be this huge deficit in my jaw. And it was really bothering me. It really, it really started to wear on my self-esteem. Like, I just felt like, oh my gosh, my jaw is not pronounced. And I could see that divot, especially after I was done nursing my son. I had lost a lot of weight. And I just really noticed it. So I reached out to some friends and I said, hey, I need to go see someone. And so there I was. I had my consult with a nurse, and the next time I saw her, she was filling my jaw with filler. And I was static.
Right.
I loved my face again. I loved my jawline. It was years that I was I wouldn't say unhappy about it, but I noticed it bothered me. You know, I always wanted to stand on the certain side for pictures, right? We all have that good side. Yeah. And I definitely, one side was more pronounced than the other. So it was days after that that I told my husband, this is what I want to do. I want to go back to school and I want to be an aesthetic nurse.
And to help people feel good in the skin that they're in.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we talk about, feeling ashamed or talking about it. There's a lot of things I feel that we women kind of hold into ourselves. Me, I call you and say, I look like a Shar Pei. I need you to fix me.
You send me awful pictures.
Send you pictures of my crumply face and say, you know, is there something you could do? Now, I'm a confident woman. Like, I feel secure in most of my skin, but there is something that just brings you joy when you feel a little more youthful. So let's talk about the stigma of that.
Yeah, I love that you use the word joy, because the part of me that I ask is, how do we age joyfully? You know, how do we as women embrace maturity with joy and strength when our bodies are changing constantly?
Yeah.
And we are up against, you know, what the mixed message of what it means to grow old gracefully. You know, growing old gracefully used to mean that women would just, you know, run around and be prideful of their wrinkles and say, I'm not, you know, I'm growing old gracefully.
And I love those women. Like,
I love those women too.
I wish I could be one of those women and just go, this new crack in my face, I love, but some of us are a little insecure about that.
Well, and some of those cracks are great.
Yeah.
Not all of them, right?
I know. I mean, I don't take them all away.
Like, I don't take them all away. I do like the smile lines and things like that. But I think that stigmatism, though, is really going by the wayside. I mean, Botox used to be a very private thing. Like, you'd get Botox and you never told anyone. Or you went in for a cosmetic procedure and you never told anyone. But the truth is, cosmetic procedures are good for our spirit. I mean, when you are suffering and you are, you know, you don't feel confident and you don't feel like your outside matches your inside, you know, you feel like, what can I do to restore? And for me, what I really love about what I do is that I focus on restoration. I focus on restoring what's been lost, and I focus on enhancing what you already have, right? So the idea of it is not that we're going in to look 10 years younger and have a facelift. I mean, if you want to look 10 years younger, you go under the knife. The idea is to naturally enhance and replace the things that have been lost as far as collagen and, you know, facial fullness and things like that.
And there's more than just Botox and those things that can help women with that, right? Like, those of us who need more enhancements.
Yeah. I mean, the field of aesthetics is growing wildly.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, there's, you know, it used to be filler and Botox, and people actually thought those two words are interchangeable, and they're not interchangeable at all. They're completely different things. But now we have access to lasers and body contouring. And in my practice, we look at hormones. We look at your labs. We say, hey, you know, are you losing your hair because your hormones are off? Are you gaining weight because your hormones are off? So I look at the wholeness of the woman, the whole package. If it's something that you don't want to have injections, but you've never learned to properly wash your face. I mean, let's be honest. I don't think I properly washed my face until I was 40.
Right. I agree.
I don't remember drinking water when I was in college. Now these girls are running around with their Stanley cups. But I mean, there are women that have no clue how to take care of themselves. They have 40 bottles in their medicine cabinet and they really only need 4.
Right.
It doesn't matter where you're at in your journey. we want to help you do what's best for you, what you're capable of, what your circumstances are, what bothers you. I mean, there's a give and take, and it's not just, you know, one size fits all. You're going to come in and we're going to do this many injections. And so really it's just a matter of, you know, you coming in and saying, this is what really bothers me. We sit down, we make a plan, and then we take action.
Right. And that's been one of my favorite parts of the experience working with you, which is how we met, is, you know, working on this face of mine. But what I have truly loved about you is there's so much more. And that's where these stories of women and what we do is so inspiring to me, because it's important to talk about our journeys, right?
How, like, we got there.
How we got there and where we're going. Mm-hmm. So where are you going? Where does this road lead
you? I love what I do. I absolutely love it. I don't want to use the word changing lives, but I am. I mean, there's things that I've had women just sit in my chair and cry. Like, I've always hated my lips. You know, I've never had lips. When I smile, they disappear. You think that's so silly, but it's so simple, but really it's not. You know, and I think, like we talked about earlier, if you have more confidence because you think you look better, you're going to feel better. If you feel better, you do better.
Right.
Right? You're more confident in all the things that you do. And for women, you know, your looks is a big one. It's a big one.
I mean, look at all these filters people are using just to try to enhance that. And then, you know, then you look in a mirror and it's not the same. And there's so much research done on the, you know, psychological effects that stuff has.
Absolutely.
So Mary, I think we could have five more conversations on infertility, adoption, facial care, farming. You just encompass so many amazing things, and I continue to be in awe of you and your work and you as a person, and I'm so grateful that you were able to spend some time with us today.
Thank you.
If somebody needs to get a hold of you or look more information up, what is the website that they can go to?
We're www.revivewellness.org.
Okay.
And I'm also on Instagram, MojoAesthetics1.
And also your farming, private or public?
I have my kids on my Instagram page. So
that's fair.
I do like to keep some of that private.
Yes, but I understand. I love watching all the farming stuff, and I love watching everything that you do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing your story, and I hope a lot more women are impacted by what you have to say.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
It was so much fun.
Thank you so much to my guest, Mary Johnson, for sharing your journey of everything from farming to infertilities. You know, eggs and, well, eggs. And your insecurities throughout. And how your path has led you to helping others have their outside match their inside. Thank God I have you. Gosh, we really do have a lot that we keep to ourselves, which is why I love talking to these women who vulnerably share what so many of us go through. Please enjoy other triumphs and stories of so many other amazing women on Women and What We Do at wgte.org/whatwedo or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you again to Mary, to my amazing producer, Chris Pfeiffer, and for you all for listening. And remember, speak up. We do.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.